Would you turn to Matthew 13 this morning? Matthew chapter 13. Been wanting to preach this message for some time now, and the Lord gave me clarity over that. I hope it'll be a help to you this morning. In studying this, it has been a help to me, and I hope that it will be a help to you. Have you ever wondered why certain Christians are just the way they are? Brother James was just mentioning that. Have you ever wondered why it seemed like some folks, when they get saved, they're just on fire for God, and it's just like they're faithful, and they just can't get enough of church, and then after just a short while, you start missing them, and you say, you know, what happened to so-and-so? And you call them, and you visit them, and they never come back. You have some people that get saved, and they've been saved for a long period of time, 10, 15 years. And it seems like that they just barely can survive this thing of Christianity. It seems like every time you turn around, there is just another problem, another mountain, another obstacle, and you talk to them, and they're just like, oh, man, it's just so hard. Every time, we get one child well, something else happens and can't pay these bills, and I'm struggling with this in my life, and it's hard to get victory over this area. Have you ever run across people like that? But you find other folks that get saved, and it's like they're glue. It's like if they're not present when the doors are open, you know something is wrong. You know that they are really bad off, sick, or they're in a car wreck or something, because they're just as faithful as clockwork, and you can count on them, and they are growing, and they are serving, and they're able to help other people, and they have a burden for the lost. Have you ever wondered what makes the difference in Christians? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's found right here in Matthew 13. And if you've ever wondered about that, and by the way, every person in this room will fall into one of these four categories, everybody, from the preacher to the deacons to the Sunday school teacher to the person in the pew to the piano player, it doesn't matter who you are, you will fall into one of these four categories. So with that in mind, notice if you would in verse number 1 of chapter 13. You got your place, amen. If you don't, look over with a neighbor, all right? Matthew 13, beginning in verse number 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Let me say, as we read this, there are 7 parables that he gives us here in the chapter 13 of Matthew. And a parable comes from a Greek word, parabola. And it means a comparison. It means to go alongside of. It is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus spoke many times in parables. There were 2 reasons why. One, he spoke in parables to make it simple. I'm glad that the Bible is not a complicated book. I'm glad that the Bible was not written just for the higher echelon and the very intellectual people. That would have left me out for sure. But Jesus spoke in parables so that the common man could understand what he is saying. But then the religious crowd, the Pharisees, he spoke in parables to confound them. For they just didn't get it. They were like, is this all it is to it, this story here? So let's read this parable, and it is the parable of the sower and the seed. Notice as he goes on. Said in verse 3, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Ah, but then others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus gives us parable, and so then the Pharisees, they were questioning, and they didn't understand this. In verse 15, he goes on to say there, and he says, for the people's heart is wax gross, the ears are dull of hearing. But then notice Jesus goes on to explain what he has just taught them. Look in verse 18. Follow me along, please. And he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now he's going to tell us what this story is all about. In this story, he has a man that is going out to sow seed, and he explains that this man, that he has on something like an apron with pockets, and it's full of grain seed. And as he goes out, he digs into the pockets, and he just literally broadcasts that seed, just hurls it out, just throws it out. And as he is throwing the seed out, some of that seed, by the way, it is good seed. It is seed that produces fruit. It is grain seed. But some of that seed, as he throws it out and as it falls out of the pouches, it falls on the roadside. And the roadside is the place where people have walked and they have trodden it down. The ground has gotten hard, and so as the seed falls on the road, it cannot penetrate into the ground and bring forth fruit. It lays there, and then the birds see the seed. They fly down and eat the seed. But then he says, as the sower is throwing this seed, as he's hurling the seed out, some of that seed, as he is casting it out, and it's going into the good soil, but also that soil is filled full of rocks. And as it's filled full of rocks, this seed begins to germinate and it comes up. But because of the rocky soil and because of all that rocks in the soil, and you that grow a garden, you know that in order to have a good garden or have a good farm, you've got to get the rocks out so the seed can put its roots down. You realize that the strength of any tree, the strength of any plant is not in the foliage. The strength of a tree is not in the leaves. It is not in the branches. But where does the strength lie? The strength of any plant lies in its what? Roots. And so here the seed that falls by the wayside, it falls on ground that's full of rocks and it tries to put the roots down, but because it does not have deepness, when the plant does spring up and the sun comes out and the winds come out, it beats that plant down and it dies. But then he also says the seed that falls among the thorns. And he said the thorns are actually stronger than the plant. For when the seed falls among the thorns and it germinates, the thorns also grow. And as the thorns grow, it chokes the seed and robs it of the nutrients and robs it of the water and robs it of all the minerals. And the thorns get stronger than the weeds, or excuse me, stronger than the plant. And the plant dies. Ah, but then there is seed that's sown on good ground. And he says in the good ground is ground that has been cultivated, ground that has been prepared, ground that is soft, And so when the seed falls in that ground, the roots go down and it taps down into the deepness and it brings forth fruit. Not every plant brings forth the same amount. There are some plants that bring forth 100-fold. There are some that bring forth 60-fold. There are some that bring forth 30-fold. But they all bring forth a certain amount of fruit. So let's look here in verse 18. And here he explains that to us. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that receiveth seed by the wayside. This is the one, the seed was thrown out on the pavement, on the ground, on the hard surface, and it could not penetrate. And then the wicked one, the devil, Satan and his adversaries, it comes by and it catches the seed, and the seed does not produce any fruit. Verse 20, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and with anon, with joy, he receives it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but he endureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And notice something here. The care of this world. He gives us two things here. In the other two Gospels, this is one parable that is taught in all four Gospels. And we're going to look at this in the time we have this morning. But in the other two Gospels, it gives us two other reasons. But here in Matthew, he gives us two reasons why that the seed is choked. And he says there in verse 23 and verse 22, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth forth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Here is a parable of the sower. We already talked a little bit about that. There are the seeds that fell on good ground. There are the seeds that fell by the wayside. There are the seeds that fell upon the rocks. There are the seeds that fell among the wild bushes and the thorns and the weeds. And the seed came up, it brought forth fruit, but the thorns and the weeds were much stronger and it choked the plant and they become unfruitful. But the Bible said some fell upon good ground. And the good seed produced in the good ground brings forth fruit. Now, this is a parable, my friends, not just about how to plant a seed. It is not how to put a plant into the ground. But this parable that Jesus gave us here is a parable that tells us that every one of us will fall into one of these four categories. You see, sometimes some people are Christians for years, but they barely can survive the Christian life. They're always needing prayer. They're always faltering. There's always something going on in their life. Another Christian that has been saved for just a short time, and they're on fire for God, and they're reading their Bibles, and they're faithful to church and in Sunday school. This also explains every minister of the gospel today. If you've been around any length of time, you probably have observed preachers and ministers and pastors. Have you ever noticed that there's some that they get called into the ministry and they're just like on fire for God and they serve the Lord and for 10 or 15 years they're preaching and working and laboring and then something happens. They may get disappointed. They may have a problem in their church. Somebody hurts them. And so all of a sudden then they become by the wayside, some of them not even preaching any longer. And if they do, some are preaching foolishness and nonsense. And some have no fire, no fruit, no results. They just go to church, and many folk will sit in a church service today, and they'll hear somebody preach a few words, and they'll say a few things, and it's almost like going in and putting your time card in the clock and punching it, and you said, I've done it, I'm good, you know, I've been there, I've done that, and so I'm good for the week. But my friend, have you ever wondered about Christianity? Have you ever wondered about people? Have you ever wondered about other folks in your family? Well, this explains it right here. So let's notice something real quickly this morning. There's about three things I'll share with you. Number one, would you notice with me the sower? The Bible tells us here, back in chapter 13 and verse number three, he mentions there is a sower, and this sower is sowing God's message. Here is a man that's going out and he is spreading the seed of God's word. And some people are like that seed that fell beside of the roadside, that's been trampled down by men as they walked and back and forth, and the road has become hard, just like this pulpit of wood. And when the seed falls on top of it, it cannot permeate, it cannot get into the ground, it cannot put its roots down into the ground, because that the soil is so hard. Second of all, notice something in this passage that we find not only that hard soil, but we find that rocky ground. Notice how the Bible describes it here in verse number 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. As he explains this down, if you'll notice, please, in verse number 21. This is the person here that he says, he hath no root in himself, but he endureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word of God, then by and by he is offended. This is the person that hears the word of God and they'll say, oh, wow, what a service we had. Woo, glory. Boy, wasn't that good. Praise God. Isn't God good? But then the word does not sink down. They'll hear it and they'll ride that emotional roller coaster. They'll get up on top of the mountain and they'll say, whoo, oh, glory, isn't God so good? But then they don't have the word down deep in their heart. And so when tribulation comes, persecution comes, hard times come, they don't last. When they have trouble or persecution, then they want to throw their hands up and they want to quit and they'll say, I don't need church any longer. It's not working for me. But you'll notice also there is the seed that's sown among the thorn bushes. They receive the message. Notice in verse 22. Here the seed, as it falls out into this thorns and thistles and weeds, the seed is good seed, and the seed goes down into the ground, and the seed wants to produce fruit. But then as it begins to grow and it comes up through the ground, beside of the seed are the thorns and the thistles and the weeds. Any good farmer knows this. If you have weeds in your garden, it's going to hinder the production of your fruit. Why was it, you know, years ago, folks used to get a hoe and go out and hoe the garden. I guess they use a tractor nowadays. I'm not a farmer. But you'd see people get a hoe and they go out and they cut the weeds down with the hoe. Because why? They didn't want the weeds pulling the nutrients out of the soil. They wanted the minerals and the fertilizer and the nutrients and the water to go toward the plant. We want good tomatoes. We want good green beans. We want squash. We want cucumbers. But if we have the weeds there, it's going to deprive the fruit on the vine. Now notice something that he says to us here in verse number 22. This is the man or the woman that receives the word of God. It goes down in their heart. But because of the weeds and the thorns and the thistles, the word of God is choked. It wants to produce fruit. It wants to grow. God wants to do something in your life. God wants you to be a fireball Christian. He doesn't want you just to ick out. He wants to be on fire for you. But notice in verse 22, the two things that he mentions here. He says, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and thereby you produce no fruit. Ah, but then last of all, there's the seed that is sown in good soil. And I would ask you this morning, these are the four types of soil. Which one are you? Are you here this morning and you're the one that says, you know, preacher, I have been saved, but it just seems like I just cannot get ahead. It seems like all the time something else is happening. It just seems like my faith is so weak. It seems like I'll go for a while on top of the mountain and then the bottom gets pulled out from underneath me and I hit bottom again. And preacher, it's just so hard to live for Jesus. Or maybe you're like this one that falls by the wayside on that hard ground, and the seed has power in it. The seed wants to germinate. The seed wants to get, but it cannot. It's so, the ground is so hard. It's like this piece of wood here. It cannot get down. And so what happens is the agents of Satan, the birds of the fowls of the heaven, and the devil comes by and he robs the seed and he takes the seed. And that, my friend, is his primary mission. Even this morning, he wants to rob the seed right now out of your heart. For some of you are sitting here this morning, I guarantee you if I could look in your mind, here's what you're thinking. I wonder what time the ball game starts this afternoon. You know, when I leave church from here, I've got to stop by and I've got to get milk and bread. I wonder how many inches of snow we're really going to have. I wonder if I'm going to be able to get to work tomorrow morning. I wonder if they're going to have school come Tuesday. You know what Satan is doing? This is good seed. Would you not say it's good seed? I mean, listen, there is power in the seed. Romans 1:16, my life first. For Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This has power. But what Satan wants to do, he wants to rob the seed out of your heart. That's why this morning when the Word of God is being preached, it doesn't matter if it's Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Sunday night, that's why the devil wants you to stay away from church, because he knows if the seed gets in and if it gets down in here and if it gets down to your heart, guess what it's going to do? It's going to produce fruit. You're going to grow. You're going to thrive. You're going to be successful. But if you can keep the seed from germinating, guess what? You die. Are you with me? The seed is powerful. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. But right now, the devil, as the Word is trying to be preached and it's going out, I have seen it happen before. I've seen it. You know, one of the most crucial times in any church service, it is not when the choir sings. It is not if the musicians mess up. It is not if the offering plates are not on the table. You know what the most crucial time is? The invitation. Amen. I have seen Brother Rodney at the invitation. All of a sudden, a baby would be silent all during church, and I believe a demon of hell reaches over and he'll pinch him, and that baby will, ah! And all of a sudden, every eye is on that baby. Hello? How many times has it happened to us here? I'd be preaching along and get to a certain point, and the phone would ring. How many times when you have sat down to read your Bible and you have good intentions and you have good effort and you said, Lord, I need something from you this morning. I need to get something out of the Word of God. I need to feast on the Word of God. Lord, I need something. And all of a sudden, something will distract you and all of a sudden get your mind off of what you're trying to read. And the devil wants to reach down and pull that seed because he knows if he can get it out of your heart, if he can snatch it away, then it doesn't have time to germinate. And if it doesn't have time to germinate, you're going to be a useless Christian. Are you with me? All right, quickly now this morning. Notice about this seed and the soil and the sower and Satan. The first thing I want you to see here, this explains three things that I want to share with you, and then we'll go to the house. Number one, Satan is a very busy rascal. All three start with the letter S. If you're writing them down, you can write them down. Satan is very busy. Look what he says there back in Matthew 13. One of his main devices is to steal the Word of God. He does not want us to meditate on it. The word meditation. The psalmist said, blessed are the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How many of you want to really prosper? Now come on, be honest. Listen, if you put deodorant on, raise your hand. I mean, listen, how many of you want to prosper? Glory to God. Listen, if you don't want to prosper, friend, then get your cardboard sign and stand out beside the road. But I want to prosper. I want to be in good health. Amen. What's the key? Blessed, happy is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the sinners, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he, what is that word I just used? Meditate. What does that mean? How many of you ever watched an old cow chew the grass or chew the cud? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you have cattle. The only cattle I have is in the freezer. Amen. But they tell me that when a cow chews the grass, you've got cows. Pets, okay. They tell me that a cow has several stomachs, and those of you that's got, I don't know how many, four, seven, I don't know, somewhere, but they got more than one. They chew the grass and they swallow it. But then, hang with me now, what do they do with it? They regurgitate it. Am I right? So they bring that back up, and this is where we get chewing the cud. And they chew it again. They get all the goodness out of it. And they swallow it. Sometimes they do that more than once, don't they? That just made everybody's lunch. Amen? You've got this mental picture now. But did you know that the word ruffination, which is that what it means, what the cow does to the cud, when he chews that and he swallows it and he brings it back up and he chews it some more and he swallows it, it is the same word as meditation. What are you to do when the preacher preaches and the Word of God sinks in? The Sunday school teacher teaches it. Oh, listen, you need to meditate on it. Think about what you just heard. Think about it this afternoon. Think about it when you know what happens, though? Before you get out of the parking lot, for some of you, Satan will reach down and he will snatch that seed right out. Are you with me? Now don't tell me this. Listen, you go out, and especially on these Sundays when they've got the auction going on over yonder, and the preacher has preached, and God has worked, and God has blessed, and maybe somebody gets saved, and then you start to pull out of the parking lot, and you said, man alive, look at all these people. I wish they'd come to church. I can't even see to get out of the parking lot. Man, I might even get hit trying to pull out. And God, listen, the seed has gone down, but the devil has just snatched it right out. Amen? He'll snatch it. And because he does not want you to meditate on it, and he'll cause distractions. Somebody will say something. Somebody will bump your door. Somebody will look at you the wrong way. Somebody didn't shake my hand. And the devil snatches the seed. That's his job. The moment you read something, he tries to steal it. Before leaving the parking lot, he tries to steal it. He'll cause something to happen. Somebody to say something. Something to get your mind off the message. And he steals it. His main job is to steal the Word of God. Look, if you would, please, verse 4 and verse 32. In verse number 4, he says there, when the seed is thrown out,
Verse 4. And the fowls came and devoured them. Look in verse 32. In the middle part of that verse, he says, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. These birds are the agents of the devil. These birds that want to rob you of the seed. These birds, listen, what you need to do when that begins to happen and you begin to thinking about all that other junk and about, oh, listen, there's going to be a line at the grocery store and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the truck out tomorrow and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to work tomorrow. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with the kids if they don't go to school? What am I going to do about, do we have enough groceries to last? What if the power goes out? How are we going to survive? And the devil wants to rob you. When them birds start flying around, get your gun out and blast them. So get away. Get away from here. I'm not going to allow the devil to rob the seed that's gone down. Second of all, notice something here. When the seed gets down in your own heart, it has its own power. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Say it with me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by? That's why, my friend, that this book is so important. This is why. This is the whole meaning right here of Christianity. Why do you come to church? Why do you come to... Why do you get up on a 14-degree morning and go out when the wind chill factor is below zero and come to a church house and drive several miles? Why do you come here and sit and listen to some fella rant and rave and holler? Because you want the seed down in here. The seed has power. I don't have any power. You don't have any power. But the seed has power. Satan tells you you're too busy to read your Bible. You know why? He don't want that seed to get down in here. Satan says you're too tired to come to church on Wednesday night. Thank God for the good plug that Brother James put in. I didn't tell him to do that. But can I tell you something? I would amen it and I would second it. You know why Wednesday night is so important? Oh, listen. Wednesday night is important because we try to teach you the Word of God. We've got notes. We got handouts. But, friend, it's not the notes. It's not the handouts. It's not the PowerPoint. But it's the seed that gets down inside. And when the seed gets down inside, guess what it produces? It produces fruit. You want to be able to live this life? You need the seed. It's got to get down deep. Not just up here. It's got to get down here. It can't just be here. It's got to get way down here. And the seed, that's why the devil will tell you church is not as important. That's why the devil will tell you this afternoon, you need to go ahead and go to the grocery store today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Go ahead and get your groceries this afternoon. I'm not telling you not to get groceries this afternoon, but just be back tonight at 6 o'clock. Two of you said amen. Why is it so important? Because the devil wants to rob you of the seed. Number two, quickly, time is gone. There's not only the Satan and his agents, but there is the seed on shallow ground. The seed on shallow ground. These are the shallow people. The roots don't go down. This is why people come to church for a while and then disappear. I didn't start preaching yesterday. I wish I could tell you that everybody that I have ever pastored is still in church, but the truth of the matter is that's not the case. I wish I could tell you that folks that have been saved under my ministry in these last 12 years are still in this church, but I would be lying to you. The shallow folks are this. They serve for a while and then they quit. Why is that? Look, Jesus told us why. He said there in chapter 13 and verse number 22, he that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. But then when the sun comes out, when the wind starts to blow, when the hard times start to happen, there are some folks that think when you get saved, everything is going to be a piece of cake. there are some folks that think that you should never have a problem in this world. And my friend, the truth is the best of Christians are the ones that sometimes suffer the most. Can I get amen? It's not that they've done anything wrong. It's not that they're being mistreated. It's not that God doesn't love them. But some of the best of Christians. And look at the Apostle Paul. What all Paul went through, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was left for dead, he was naked, destitute, went through shipwreck. He walked into a town, didn't look for a hotel, but looked for the prison. He walked into a town, and my friends, they either had a revival or they had a riot on their hands. You see, we think that when we get saved, everything's going to be smooth sailing. We don't have any problems. All the kids are going to be well. All the bills are going to be paid. Everybody's going to be happy. No. And when that sun comes up and when the persecution comes and when you go back to work tomorrow morning and somebody doesn't like the way that you say something, there's somebody at work don't like the name of Jesus and they'll begin to talk about you. They'll begin to persecute you. They may even fire you from your job. Some people say, hey, I'm not going back to church. You know why? Because it's not helping me a bit. Notice something here as I try to get through this morning. He says, watch this here in verse number 20. Let me back up. In verse 20, he that received the seed in stony places. What is that? The stony places are the rocks. What's the rocks, preacher? I believe they represent self. You can hear a message, but you keep self at the center. Oh, I like the fact that Jesus is going to save me and He's going to give me a home in heaven. Hallelujah. Sign me up for that. I'm all on board for that. Oh, Jesus is going to answer my prayer. He's going to help me in my trouble. He's going to give me a job. Yes, sir, I like that. You can receive the seed, but if you still have yourself at the center, that's the stony, hard places. All to Jesus I surrender. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. Amen. It's not about who we can see. It's not about how we can feel. It's not about a position. It's not about singing. It's not about being recognized. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. Third of all, and I'm done. Notice the last type of seed, and that's the seed that falls on good ground. But now notice something here. As I mentioned earlier, look, if you would, in verse number 23. He that receives seed in good ground is he that heareth the word. And if you've got a King James, read this with me. And understandeth it verse 22. And notice that he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and what? I can't hear you. Say it with me. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. If you go in your Bibles, you don't need to do it right now, but if you go in your Bibles and you'll find in Mark chapter 4 verse 19, he gives us another one and it's called the lust of other things. And then in Luke's gospel, chapter 8 and verse 14, it talks about the pleasures of this life. So there are actually four things here. He talks about the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of this life and the lust of other things. It chokes the seed, and because it chokes the seed becomes unfruitful. You know what that means? It is the worries of this life. It is the distractions of this life. You say, how in the world am I going to pay this bill? I don't know how I'm going to have the money to pay my light bill. You know what happens? You're more consumed about that than you are about the Word getting down inside of you. If we would meditate on the Word of God as much as we think about our problems and our troubles and our cares and our lack of money and our pleasures and our other things, if we would concentrate on the Word of God and it get down deep, you know what it'll do? It'll produce faith to believe the impossible. You'll say, I don't know how it's going to get done, but I believe God. The doctors say one thing, but I believe God. I don't know how this light bill is going to be paid, but I believe God. I don't know how God's going to put gas in the tank, but I believe God. And when the seed gets down here, you'll have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You'll have faith beyond measure when the seed gets down in here. I wonder how many of you this morning listening to my voice would say, "Preacher, I want the good seed to fall in the good ground, and I want the fruit to spring up. I see myself in one of these four. I see myself." Maybe you're here this morning and you've never been saved. That's the seed that falls on the hard, crusty ground and has not penetrated. It has not gone down. But this morning you say, "Preacher, the Word of God has convicted my heart. I'm going to put away my pride. I may have been a church member. I may have been a good person. But this morning I realize that all that pride is nothing more than hard, crusty ground. And I'm going to break through that. I'm going to let the seed of God fall down in the good soil. And today it's going to be a new day. I'm going to be a Christian because God's Word has found lodge in my heart." Maybe you're here this morning and the seed has fell among the rocky, stony places. Maybe you've gone down for a while and it sprang up, but you're just not as consistent as you need to be for Jesus. Maybe this morning you'd say, "Dear Lord, may I put you first and everything else second." Amen. Oh, let's say that again. May I put you first and everything else second. Or maybe you're here this morning and that seed has fell among the thorns. It's good soil. It's good seed. But the cares of this life, we're so wrapped up with the, you know, about the care. Some of you are probably worried, you know, about ISIS. Some of you are worried about Ebola. Some of you are worried about our government. Some of you are worried about Social Security, Medicare. You're worried about the Obamacare. You're just wrapped up in all that stuff, and all that distractions rob the seed, and so it can't find lodging in your heart. But you say, "Oh, but preacher, this morning it's going to be different because I want to be a part of that 30-fold. 60-fold, 100-fold. I want the seed, the Word of God, to find lodging in my heart. And I want to produce fruit. I want to have faith. I don't want to have to just be coddled along. I want to be a Christian that can stand and against the wiles of the devil. I want to be a dad that can stand and lead my family. I want to be a husband that can teach my wife and be an example of a man of God and a man of prayer. I want to be a grandpa that my kids and my grandkids know what it's like to know that there is a true man of God in our family."